This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu nasta'aghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه واله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in our discussion or in our quest of remaining upon this earth, even though we know that our stay upon this earth is only for a short span or a short time. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. You're only going to remain here for a set amount of time, and then you have to make that final destination back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many of us are searching for that peace upon this earth, or searching for the peace in the hereafter. And we find that the journey of the earth, of this world, has been placed inside the Qur'an in various similitudes or parables. And thus we find a large portion of the Qur'an speaks about amthal, speaks about parables or similitudes for certain reasons. Some of the ulama have collected some more than 70 odd direct amthal inside the Qur'an, which all serve different purposes and different intent, to send home the message to the individual to be able to relate to certain things that we may even visualize on a daily basis. So there's going to be some specific amthal parables we want to extract from the Qur'an, talking specifically about the Akhirah. But before that, just to set our mindset correctly about the reason for these parables, as we find numerous different verses inside the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Indeed, we throw down these examples, these parables for mankind, that mankind may begin to reflect, to begin to ponder, to begin to think, or to remember specifically here that we find. In another description of a parable towards the end of Surah Al-Hashr that we find in the 59th chapter of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. These are the parables that we throw down upon mankind, upon human beings, that they may begin to ponder, begin to reflect. Likewise, we find وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. These are the parables that we bestow or throw down upon mankind once again. And the only individuals who are able to extract and understand these parables are people of knowledge, people of understanding, of comprehension. Thus a large portion of the Qur'an, large portion of this life is revolving around this world, to make the individual to begin to think. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Towards the end of Surah Al-Imran that we find, indeed in the alternation, the creation, the night and the day, the heavens and the earth are signs for men of understanding who are standing, bowing down, lying down, who ponder and reflect over all of this. and say, "Our Lord, you have not created this in a state of vanity. There must be a purpose in everything that you have created. Glorified are you and save us from the punishment of the hellfire." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws down these amthal inside the Quran, للتذكير, for remembrance, ووعظاً, for admonition, to remember and to remind ourselves. As you find many of the ulama of ulum al-Quran, you find collecting these parables or highlighting the intent. If you look at Imam al-Suyuti's work, Al-Itqan fi ulum al-Quran, or if you look at the works of Imam Zarkashi, Sahib al-Burhan, who mentioned that the reason why darbul amthal fi al-Quran yustafad minhu umurun kathira, these reasons why these parables have been placed inside the Quran benefits the individual from various different angles or various different perspectives. Amongst them you find al-tathkir, al-wa'ud, al-hath, al-zajr, al-i'tibar. That the reason why these parables have been placed inside the Quran, to encourage the person, to remind the person, to give an admonition, to encourage the individual, to warn the individual. And likewise you find al-taqreer wa-taqreeb al-murad lil-aql. To begin to be able for the mind, the intellect, to be able to reason and to see. And even at times to begin to visualize, as we find, وَتَصْوِيرُهُ بِسُورَةِ الْمَحْسُوسِ. As sometimes the parables are things that we can touch, we can feel, that we visualize quite clearly around us. That is amongst the reasons and intent, wallahu a'lam, for sending these amthal, these parables, these similitudes inside the Qur'an. To such a degree that you find various parables have been placed inside the Qur'an. That some of us may not pay much attention to these parables. At times even animals have been placed inside the Qur'an. There's an intent behind talking about certain animals. And you find, for example, even the dog. Inside Surah Al-A'raf, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laying out the parable of those people who don't pay attention to the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who don't respond to them, that they remain like a dog whose tongue just hangs out. Whether you admonish the dog or you praise the dog, his tongue just seems to hang out of his mouth. It doesn't affect this individual. Likewise, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions parables of other insects inside Surah Al-Ankabut that we find. Talk about those individuals who commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, the most frailest of homes, the most weakest of homes is the home of the spider. So this shows that those people who hold fast of committing shirk and believe this is a framework that will protect them, actually their framework is just as weak as a spider's web. Likewise, you find right in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions amongst the first parables used with the use of the insect or the mosquito that we find. Inna Allah la yastahyi an yadriba mathalan ma ba'udatan fama fawqaha. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels no shyness to give a parable of a mosquito or something which is above it or something which is less than it. So everything inside the Quran has an intent, has a purpose that the Muslim needs to begin to understand. Likewise, you find other parables like Surah Al-Hajj talking about the fly. Once again, those people calling upon others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other examples whereby people's actions are like thrown on a windy day. Other parables mentioned whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that a good word, كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. You find a good word is like a good tree. Its roots are firmly inside the ground and its branches go high up into the sky and give fruits every so often. Likewise, the opposite of an evil word. Likewise, you find parable of paradise. Those individuals who've been promised paradise, the rivers inside paradise, something we can begin to visualize. Obviously, we cannot understand, but the words which are used, rivers of wine, of milk, of water, of honey, etc., all something that to some degree the human being can relate towards this depiction of these beautiful rivers created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the specific amthal that we want to mention about that which occurs inside the Quran about what we may visualize on a daily basis about this world, we find innama mathalul hayati ad-dunya kama'in anzalnahu minas samaa fa ikhtalata bihi nabatul ard مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفَهَا وَزَيَّنَتْ وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَصِيدًا كَأَن لَّمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ. So this is the first parable we want to focus upon about this, the parable of this world, of this dunya. Indeed, the parable of this world is like the water which comes down from the heavens, from the skies. فَاخْطَلَتَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ It mixes with the vegetation, the crops, the seeds of this earth. It mixes with it. And it begins to bring forth its vegetation, its produce, which people, and likewise cattle, begin to benefit from this produce. And you see that when the earth has become in a state of beautification, it's reached that peak level of its crop, and the beauty is clear, was zayyanat, its beauty is apparent in front of everyone, all of a sudden Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then destroys it all, brings everything to an end. Regarding those people who think that they are qadirun, they have the ability to control the earth, or they control whatever exists around them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a day or in a night destroys it and leaves whatever is there, like the harvest which is clean, moven, nothing remains of what existed yani before. So here we find that inside this parable, كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ inside Surah Yunus, 10th chapter of the Quran, verse number 64. These are the signs that we explain for people that they may begin to reflect and ponder over this. Here you find ulama of logh, of language, tafsir, they mention was zayyanat, that it begins to beautify the earth. Here they mention هَذِي الْإِسْتِعَارَ شَبْهَ الْعَرْضِ بِالْعُرُوسِ شَبْهَ الْعَرْضِ بِالْعُرُوسِ, that the earth has been described as a bridegroom. Was zayyanat, she beautifies herself on the day of her marriage. So when the earth reaches this peak level of beautification, then after it is just destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where is the beauty of yesterday? It will no longer exist. A time will come that the beauty of this earth and the beauty of this world will be taken away from the individual. Likewise, you find a person begins to take credit inside this ayah regarding what they've created upon this earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can either send a hail, a disease, or just destroy everything the person has created. So a Muslim needs to be vigilant about living upon this earth and becoming boisterous about what they possess. These are nothing but the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ That is nothing but the virtues and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He sends upon whoever He wants of His servants. Then you find, يَنِي حَصِيدًا The earth becomes حَصِيدًا بِمَعْنَى مَحْصُودَةٌ مَقْطُوعَةٌ لَا شَيْءَ فِيهَا Becomes totally destroyed. The earth, as if nothing ever existed before on this place whereby the whole of this dunya was once placed, or the fruits and the vegetations. And then comes the key message. Straight after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you to the home of peace, the eternal abode of the akhirah. That is the real home of the believer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling the believers towards. وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever He wants to the straight path. Likewise, then it carries on to mention, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَةٌ Those individuals who do goodness upon this earth, for them there will be ziyadatun as well, something extra. As we mentioned many occasions, the hadith of Sahih Muslim, the ziyada is to getting to see the sublime face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the context of these ayat about this earth, that many of us begin to enjoy this earth and think that life is all about this earth, that peace is upon this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can remove that peace, remove this earth, and begins to call us towards Darus Salam, the real home of peace and eternal any existence. The second parable that we find inside the Quran, placed inside Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th chapter of the Quran, verse number 45, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْطَلَتَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ حَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا Once again, give the parable of this world to these people. The parable of this world is just like, once again, the rain which comes down from the heavens and mixes with this earth. And you find that the vegetation, the earth, the nabat begin to come out of this earth. فَأَصْبَحَ حَشِيمًا But after a short while, you find it becomes dry stubble. Whatever was vegetation before eventually begins to wither away, begins to have no value. Or the wind just blows away whatever vegetation that exists. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevails over all things. So the wind blows away something which has no importance. Is another example that can be extracted from this verse, that this dunya doesn't really have much importance in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then again the following ayah begins to send home the message. Al-malu wal-banun zinatul hayati dunya wal-baqiyatu salihat khayrun inda rabbika thawaban wa khayrun amala. Indeed, you find that the wealth and the children in this world are the blessings or the beautification of this world. That at times these things can begin to distract you. What is more beneficial for the individual is وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ is the remaining good deeds. That is better for the individual, whoever believes in the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are these good actions or these remaining actions? Something which has been attributed to Ibn Abbas, if you look at some works of tafsir that you find, al-baqiyatu salihat is as-salawatu al-khams, is one interpretation, is the five daily prayers, or kullu amal salih, any righteous action, min qawlin aw fi'lin, whether it be a statement or whether it be an action, is classified as a good deed that will benefit the individual. These are the deeds that will benefit the individual inside this world and likewise inside the akhirah as well. The third ayah that we find inside Surah Al-Hadid, the 57th chapter of the Quran, once again giving the parable of this world. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. Know for a fact that once again this world is nothing but play and amusement, وزينةٌ and beautification, to beautify this world. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ mutual boasting amongst yourselves about your children and your wealth. That is what this dunya unfortunately has become for many of us individuals, and even more specific for us Muslims as well. That's all that we worry about at times, unfortunately, is about this world. Then again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives a parable about this earth. كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارِ This earth, or this parable, is just like the rain which startles the kuffar. Here, al-kuffar, it doesn't carry the meaning of disbelievers. بِمَعْنَى الْفَلَّاحُونَ The farmers. That when the farmers, they see the rain. يَنِي نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُهُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرَّ ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا These farmers are waiting for the rain to come down. They startle, they marvel, they wait for the rain to come down. So the rain begins to come down, the vegetation, the crops begin to come out, but naturally once again, some of these crops, they begin to crumble away. Some of them are destroyed, some of them they become yellow, some of them they wither away. That is the reality of this dunya, that things of the dunya, they don't remain. Just like the fruits and the vegetation, they're here for a short while, you rejoice for a short while. But after that short while, they begin to wither away and be taken away from you. And thus you find the good men are those individuals who take the real spiritual harvest and they store it for the spiritual gain. That's the harvest of a believer. The harvest in this world is to store it, as they say, for a rainy day. Not to say it's haram to store something for the rainy day, but the real storing for the believer is to store it for that spiritual gain inside this world and likewise inside the akhirah as well. Then again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then concludes by mentioning, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ Indeed, for those people of الْآخِرَةِ who get distracted by the use of this world, for them there will be inside the akhirah عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ a severe chastisement, punishment for those individuals. Or there could be for those individuals وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ There could be forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people who have the appropriate usage of this world. And likewise, وَرِضْوَانٌ the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then comes a key element of this dunya once again, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْخُرُورِ This world, once again, is nothing but a great big deception. It's been placed here to deceive the individual. Only those individuals who understand the intent of the dunya and tread upon this dunya, able to gain the maximum benefit of this dunya in their return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing but the goods and the chattels of this dunya that we find. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes or closes by sending out the message to us to encourage us. سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا كَأَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ سَابِقُوا Race with one another, challenge one another to gain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to gain that garden, that paradise whose width is the size of the heavens and the earth. وَعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ Which has been prepared for those individuals who believe in Allah and believe in His Messenger. Thus you find that the akhirah, the more the person has that belief and the conviction inside the akhirah, the more the person begins to strive to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then to develop more proximity and closeness to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ That is the virtue, whether it be of this dunya or the deeper intent of this iman upon this earth, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon whomever He wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on this dunya that we find, the individual is going to leave this dunya. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Even addressing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're going to die, and likewise all of the people around you are going to die, leave this world. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَاعِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single soul will taste death. So why are so many of us are deluded that somehow we're going to remain here forever? That we think that we're going to stay here forever and we're going to conquer and rule, and it's quite visible in front of us that many of us Muslims, whether it be on a senior level or an average level, somehow we think that we're going to be remaining here for a longer time. So we find that مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا. Whoever wants this world and wants this earth and wants the beauty of this earth, نُوَفِّي إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. Then we give them this dunya. We give them the qualities of this dunya. They're people who search for the dunya, who want the glitter, who want the wealth, who want the embezzlement, who want things of the dunya. نُوَفِّي إِلَيْهِمْ. We give it to these individuals that their life just comes seeking the pleasures of this world. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. For these individuals, there will be nothing inside the akhirah for these individuals. And whatever they've done, وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا. You know, today we find that the world is constructive world, isn't it? Creating the lofty buildings, the empires, whatever it may be. As far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا. Null and void. It's all finished. Doesn't mean anything in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we find that those ayat talking about, in general, the disbelievers, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. These disbelievers only know the external factors of this world. Everything about this earth, they are very, very skillful. But once again, let's leave those individuals alone. Al-ibra bi'umumi lafzi la bi-khususi sabab. The lesson is to be taken from the generality of the words and not from the specification of revelation. How many of us today, how many Muslims today, or the Muslim globe all around us, ya'lamuna dhahiran min al-hayati dunya. The only thing that concerns them seems to be this world. It's quite evident. There doesn't need to be a technical debate about it. As they say, actions speak louder than words. We can all visualize around us how people is worried about gaining this world, domination upon this earth. And thus you find that there are basically four elements of a person begins to strive for four things to remain upon this earth. It's either a love of wealth, it's a love of power, it's a love of riyasa, to be in a position, or it's a love of tijara, of business. These are the four elements that begin to distract a person from focusing appropriately towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can take it in any context, either from an average individual or senior individual, you find these are the elements, how many of us individuals begin to cling onto this dunya. And thus you find that those individuals who let these elements distract them, and likewise you find that Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah in his famous book, Yani Hukm al-Salah wa Hukm al-Tarikuha, the one talking about the prayer, and the one who abandons the prayer, he says these are the four elements that also make a person abandon their prayer. Either because their love of wealth, they begin to neglect the prayer. Their love of being a king, a person dominant, an amir, whatever it may be, the title may be, it distracts them from the prayer. Likewise, a person who put in that position, who could be an advisor of some sort, they get distracted. And likewise, you find a person, their business, their tijara, would distract them as well. And he bases this all upon any the person that we find, a person's wealth, yani maluhu, persons who distracted will be ma'a qarun. As we're going to come, who Qarun was, the person that excessive use of wealth began to distract him. The person, yani his kingdomship, will be with Fir'aun. Fir'aun claimed to be the sovereign power. Ana rabbukumul a'la. I am your sovereign God. I'm your Lord. I'm the one that does all these actions. I'm the one that governs everything upon this earth. Don't be surprised even today that we find people have this belief that somehow power goes into the mind of people. It's a lust and a desire at times that you can't purchase with wealth. When a person comes to that station, they think that they govern and rule. Many hints are given inside the Quran. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ قَالَ أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتِ. These parables are not just placed inside the Quran that we should just skim read over them. Read the intent of these ayat. That even today people say, I'm the one that gives life and death. Who are you to challenge me? Who are you to speak against me? Throw this one in prison, execute this one, let this one go free. It exists today. Don't be befooled and think it doesn't exist today. It exists exactly today. The Quran has a deep methodology. You begin to look at the manhaj of the Quran, you see it becomes crystal clear in front of you. whether it be Muslim or non-Muslim, unfortunately, you find it begins to become crystal clear that these elements have begun to penetrate into the heart and the minds of individuals. Likewise, رِيَاسَتُهُ مَعَ هَامَانَ, the person who was the advisor or person close to يعني فرعون. Likewise, يعني تِجَارَتُهُ, a person's wealth will be with Ubay ibn يعني خلف, the person will be with that individual. And these are رؤوس الكفرة, these are the leaders of the disbelievers. If there's four sections of disbelievers, you find these are the four sections, these are the four elements. And all this that you find, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah in his work, he bases it basically upon a hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, likewise in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban. Man hafadha alayha, talking about the Salah, and he kanat lahu nuran wa burhanan wa najatan yawm al-qiyamah. Whoever guards their prayer, that prayer will become a form of light for the individual and evidence for the individual and a form of success for the individual on the Day of Judgment. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُحَافِذْ عَلَيْهَا, whoever doesn't preserve their prayers, doesn't guard their prayers, that the individual for them, it will not be a form of light, a form of evidence, rather, nor a form of success. That individual will be on the Day of Judgment, مَا أَقَارُونَ وَهَامَانُ وَفِرْعَوْنُ وَبَيْ بِنْ خَلَفٍ. That person will be with the leaders of these disbelievers. So we want to specifically want to focus upon يعني, the mal, the wealth, and what happened to Qarun. يعني, and you find, look at Surah Al-Qasas, the 28th chapter of the Quran, you find towards the end, a long discussion talking about Qarun and regarding this individual. Inna Qarun kana min qawmi Musa fabagha alayhim. Indeed, that you find that Qarun, yani, was from the people yani, of Musa, and he transgressed against his people. If you look at some of the works of Tafasir, you find that Ibn Abbas says kana ibn am Musa, he was the son of the uncle yani, of Musa, aw min ashiratihi, aw from his family, aw min jama'atihi, aw from his clan, is what some of the ulama of Tafasir yani, have mentioned. Likewise, Imam al-Tabari mentions, أي تجاوز حده في الكبر والتجبر يعني على الناس. He went beyond the limits of arrogance and rebelliousness against the people يعني around him. Likewise, find Imam Suyuti in Dur al-Manthur mentions that إنما بغى لكثرة ماله ولده. The reason why he began to يعني oppress other individuals was why? Because of his wealth and the children that he had. This is a key symbolic gesture that we find. Most people, when wealth and they find that they have children, etc., or especially sons, they believe this is a right to become any overpowering over any other individuals. It was the concept that began to develop into the heart and the mind any of Qarun. وَأَتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْقُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْأُسْبَةِ عُلِي الْقُوَّةِ. Indeed, that the wealth and the property that we had given to Qarun, the treasure that we had given to him, or the keys of the treasures, it was a burden for yani usba, usba that you find, if you go back to Surah Yusuf alayhi salam, that you find in usba wa nahnu usbatun, we're a group, a jama'ah, a member, 10 people. So either could mean that 10 people had to yani carry the burden or the keys to the treasures. So 10 individuals are just carrying the keys to the treasures. Others say al jama'atul kathira, a whole group of individuals. Other ulama said that ma fawq al ashra ila al arba'een. That's what usba is, anything above 10 all the way up to 40. So 40 men just to carry the keys of the treasures of this individual. Some of you mentioned Sab'una Rajulan. 70 individuals just carry the keys of the treasures that belong to Qarun. Al-Qunuz, أي أعطيناه من الأموال الوفيرة. We've given immense wealth. Unbelievable wealth has been given to this individual. And you find that the treasures will be placed upon 40 donkeys. So either 40 individuals are carrying the keys, and you know that the weight that donkeys can carry is something immense. It can carry much more than its own body weight. It's the amount of treasures that this individual was given. What is the reason for mentioning this taswir or giving this imagery form of this wealth? So a person can begin to understand that this person had reached such a high level of wealth and power and domination and blessings been given upon him. But we find what happened to this individual or the rebuke that is mentioned to this individual. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ. When the people said to him, قَالَهُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the people who said this to him are the believers. لا تفرح, don't rejoice, don't become excessive. That's if there's two elements for a believer. Is in a state of immense happiness and a state of immense sadness, the person needs to have control over their feelings and the use of their wealth. And thus you can see the stupidity that when people are excessively happy, how they begin to throw their wealth and squander their wealth. And likewise in a state of foolishness, when a person is feeling down or sad, they begin to just throw their wealth around as well. This wealth is an amana. This wealth is a trust. We don't want to get into the political world, but we can see how clearly many Muslims, we say that they are ikhwan, we say they are brothers, we care about them. You know, every single day, They have to pick up breadcrumbs from the floor and eat it. And every single day, you slaughter hundreds of camels, hundreds of beasts for one individual, two individuals, and the rest of it is trashed away. Is that what you call a trust? Do you think that you're going to walk scot-free about this trust? Do you think there's going to be no repercussions? Do you think that no one's going to ask you, that you can just do whatever you want to do, and you believe that it's your right? This is following the manhaj, the mentality of Qarun. When he's been warned, that don't rejoice, don't become excessively happy. Inna Allah la yuhibbul farihin. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love these type of individuals. Alladina la yashkurun, la yashkurun Allah ala ma a'tahum. That's the reason why. Allah doesn't mind you rejoicing, being happy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like those individuals who don't show gratitude for the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them. Those type of individuals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like those individuals. وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ. Seek this wealth and these blessings to gain what? The key element, al-akhirah, دار الآخرة, the final abode. So we've given you this wealth, we've given you this possession, that you may use this to come towards the akhirah. وَذَلِكَ بِفِعْلِ الْحَسَّنَاتِ وَالصَّدَقَاتِ وَالْإِنْفَاقِ مِنَ الطَّاعَاتِ. How are you going to gain that? By doing good deeds, spending your wealth in a good cause, and likewise you find spending your wealth in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the usage, the correct usage of the wealth in helping any oneself and helping the people you need around them. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And don't forget your share of this world. And obviously many people try to use this verse to say, you know, we can enjoy the world. Yes, that's partially correct. But that's not the inner meaning of this ayah. That's just a partial understanding, that don't forget to take from this earth. Every single Muslim needs a share of this earth. There's some people, yani, فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. There's some people who say, just give us good in this world. There's no share for them inside the akhirah. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَّنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَّنًا. Those who say that give us good in this world and give us good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the hellfire. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا كَسَّبُوا وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. For them is their good share or the portion of what they've done, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swift in bringing people forth to accountability. So we're not saying here, don't forget your share of this world, but there's an inner meaning about don't forget the share of this world, as you find that ulama of tafsir, something which attributed to Ibn Abbas once again, radiallahu anhu, mentioned, a ta'amal fiha li akhiratik. Work in this world for your hereafter. That's the meaning, the deeper meaning of this ayah, is work in this world to gain the pleasures of the akhirah. وقال الإمام الحسن البصري أي لا تضيع حظك من الدنيا في تمتعك بالحلال وطلبك إياه. Don't waste your time in seeking the pleasure of this world, the desires of this world, the enjoyment of this world, at the expense يعني, of losing the akhirah. So going beyond the limits. أي شيء تجاوز حده أصبح ضده. Anything you go beyond the limits, it becomes the opposite. So even if it's a halal entertainment, if you go beyond the limitations, it becomes the opposite. Simple. So everything in Islam has been codified for how a person needs to use their wealth or what they need to do with their wealth. Likewise, you find Imam, something which we attribute to Imam Mujahid, another famous student of Ibn Abbas, that you find, Al-amal bi ta'atillahi nasibuhu min ad-dunya alladhi yuthabu alayhi fil akhirah. So you find, Al-amal bi ta'atillah, that the person is doing the actions of obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, and the person will be given the recompense and reward inside the akhirah for the actions that they've done inside this earth. What is one way of gaining that benefit? Wa ahsin kama ahsana Allahu ilayk. Show goodness like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed goodness to you. So the more the person travels up the wealthy ladder or fortunes, millionaires or whatever it may be, the more it becomes wa ahsin kama ahsana Allahu ilayk. Show goodness like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown goodness to you. Ay ahsin ila ibadillahi kama ahsana Allahu ilayk. Show goodness to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around you, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown goodness to you. Wala tabghi al-fasada fil ard. Don't seek corruption in the land. What does it mean to seek corruption on the land? Ay la tatlub bihadha al-mal al-baghi wat-tatawul 'ala an-nas wal-ifsad fil ard bil-ma'asi. Don't seek with this wealth corruption upon the land of oppressing people and competing with people, etc. Retouchable one, ifsad fil ard, and creating corruption upon the land, bil ma'asi, with disobedience. Is it not a sad fact? It's very sad that we have to mention some elements. Inna alladhina yuhibbuna an tashi'a al-fahishatu fil ladhina amanu, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those people who love to spread al-fawahish, illicit behavior, misconduct, bad behavior amongst the believers, for them will be evil chastisement inside this world and inside the akhirah as well. And I don't want to go into a political world. You can all understand what I'm referring to. We don't need people kicking a ball in our country. And then we're saying we're going to allow them to drink khamr, alcohol, just for them whilst they come into our country. Shame upon us. Shame upon us. We're going to open up our blessed lands to allow them to come and drink the alcohol. Even if you quantify it, place them in special locations. We live in this country, and all of you, you know how these people behave when they get drunk. How alcohol is for their life. But, you know, some of us remain silent about this. The greater good, the maslaha of letting these people come into our country. What maslaha? What purpose do we have? What difference does it make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if the ball goes in the net or goes outside the net? What difference does it make to the deen of Islam? But you allowing them makes a big corruption in our lands. And that's the reality. People may find it politically incorrect to make these statements, but that's the reality. That's what we become. That's all that we care about. That's all that concerns us. Those people who love to spread fasad, corruption in their own lands. Who's asking you to let these people come into your countries? Who's asking you to allow these people to lie nude on your beaches? Who's asked you to do that? Who's asked you to allow you to serve alcohol on your flights to your destination? Who's asked you? Who's compelled you? Who's forced you? Has anybody compelled you? Has anybody forced you to do that in your life? No. So why are you allowing it? It's simple. It's elementary basics of being a Muslim, that all of us, we know that these things, it's not a technical debate. It's not a debate that exists amongst the world of real fuqaha and real ulama. It's crystal clear. But we are destroying, يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ, destroying our own homes with our own hands. That's what we're doing. We're destroying our own homes with our own hands. And we're not going to understand the repercussions of this. And day in and day it goes out, as our blessed environments begin to get shredded away, and we just turn a blind eye, that maybe there's some goodness in what certain things are taking place. The goodness is very minimal. Goodness will naturally spread. But to prevent evil takes more preference in the Sharia than the spreading of good. That's what the fuqaha have mentioned. To stop the evil takes more importance than to allow the spreading of good to take place. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love those individuals who are the corrupt individuals. Whether the corruptors are non-Muslims or our own ikhwan, our own Muslim brothers and sisters. Simple principle. It could be the Muslims via spreading vice and spreading sin. It could be the non-Muslims spreading their sin and their oppression. Now every day we can see the oppression that begins to take place, and we claim to be searching for the quest for peace and to be resting in peace. How can you be resting in peace? How can you be resting in peace? أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. Wherever you are, whether you be inside your fortified palaces, death will come upon you. So you have your peace inside there. But look outside. Look outside the palace, and what do you find? Nothing but corruption in all around you. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. Then you find, here comes the arrogance. This has been something I've been given from my own knowledge. I deserve this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew, عَلِمَ اللَّهُ عَنِّي أَهْلٌ لِذَٰلِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew, that's what Qarun said. Allah knows that I deserve this, so the wealth is given to me. And just like today you find, father to son, to family, to family, to family. Where is this? Many times non-Muslims come and answer this question, where's nepotism in Islam? Where's this favoritism in Islam? You talk about the equality of Islam, then where is all of this? You tell us this, but what's all this around you? One son to another son to another son to another family, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. What answer do we give him then? We talk about the beauty of Islam. We talk about the justice of Islam. We talk about the equality of Islam. One simple question to say to us, where is it then? You talk about our system, you talk about our way of life. Then look at your own way of life. There's no difference now. At least we have whatever they call democracy, or a right of speak, of freedom of expression, whatever it may be. What do you have then? You don't really have it. So at times it's very difficult to highlight where is the real image of Islam. Where is the real image of Islam that we can begin to boast and say? Rather, these people begin to say, we deserve this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we have every right, so we've been bestowed, this has been given to us. أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَهْلَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنَ الْقُرُونَ مَنْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ قُوَّةً وَأَكْثَرُ جَمْعًا. Don't these people begin to see that how many people before, we've destroyed many nations before, And many people before who had much more wealth and much more superior lofty position they had, but we destroyed them. We shred them apart. We took them apart, as we can begin to visualize in it today. Likewise, the statement, you find, man ashaddu minna quwwa, who's more powerful than us? These same statements of centuries of gold that the Quran mentions, exactly the same thing begins to take place today. Who is more powerful than us in our domination and our rule? And thus the Quran mentions, وَلَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذُنُوبِهِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Don't ask. We're not going to ask about the mujrimun. These criminals, these individuals will not be asked. There will not be questioning for these individuals. They'll be directly sent to the location. And thus we find, فَخَرَجَ عَلَى قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ. So Qarun came out with his beautification, with his entourage, with his pomp, with his charade, with all the people yani, around him, all the troops. Ulama Tafasil, like Imam Suyuti, mentions some 4,000 riding beasts around him. He comes out. And you find those individuals, قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ. Some of those individuals, du'afa'u al-iman, which many of us are, unfortunately. Those of us with weak iman looked at this charade, looked at this entourage, and said, if only we had the wealth and the property of Qarun, if only we were like this individual. That's what many of us have become. We see the treasures of the world, we see the world around us, and we say, if only I had these treasures, if only I could be like this individual. إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, he's a person of manifest blessings have been given to this individual. أَيْذُو نَصِيبٍ وَافِرٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. A large portion, a share of this dunya has been given to this individual. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ أُقَلَى. Ulama, people of ilm, people of knowledge, of understanding, they said, وَالْفَهَمْ وَالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ. Of understanding and commitment and resolution to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَ. Woe upon you, azajar, woe upon you. Indeed, the reward and the good deeds that will be given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than what you are aspiring from this individual. Yani wala yulqaha illa sabirun. And only those people of patience, of resolution and commitment are going to be able to understand that this dunya is going to be a great big distraction for many of us. But those who remain committed and persevere, they're not going to fall into the traps of this dunya. And then comes the punishment, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Then we made the earth to sink him down. The earth swallowed him and swallowed everything with him. فَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِئَةٍ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. There was no group, there was no party that could help him besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَدْفَعُونَ عَنْهُ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. No one could come now and prevent the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming upon this individual and everything that he possessed, of sinking deep down into the ground. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُنْتَصِرِينَ. And this individual, بِنَفْسِهِ, is not able to even save yani himself. وَأَصْبَحَ الَّذِينَ تَمَنَّوا مَكَانَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ. And now when these people begin to visualize what was the end of this individual, that have we learned the lesson? Those individuals yani, who envied his position the day before, they then begin to highlight themselves. يَقُولُونَ وَيْكَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْدِرُ. لَوْلَا أَمَّنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا لَخَسَفَ بِنَا. Then these people begin to realize and begin to understand. They begin to say, it is indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who enlarges the provision or restricts it. He indeed, it is not any of his servants that we want to be one amongst the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not guided us or not set our record astray, or if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not been gracious towards us, he could have caused the earth to swallow us up as well. So you find that the musir of these individuals would have been the same destination in of Qarun. وَيْكَ أَنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Woe be upon you, the disbelievers will never ever be successful. لَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Never in this world and never inside the Akhirah. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are only days that we alternate around you at the moment. Never ever think that the disbelievers will ever have an upper hand over the believers. Never inside this world and never inside the Akhirah as well. تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. The Akhirah, once again, we give to those individuals who, when they have domination upon this earth, they don't want to be arrogant and they don't want to create any corruption upon this land. So thus you find that إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a Muslim becomes dominant, becomes powerful, he comes in that position, it's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look how the Quran still tells us, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The final abode is best for the real believers. that the believer isn't going to become uluwan, doesn't become arrogant, doesn't become lofty, and begin to become full of himself whilst he's dominating upon this earth. The individual wants Darun Na'im Al-Khalid Al-Sarmadi. The believer wants the real abode, the eternal abode inside the Akhirah. For those who do not commit Al-Ulu Al-Takabbur Fil-Ard Bighayri Al-Haq, who don't oppress any individual, don't become arrogant towards other individuals upon this earth. Wal-Fasad Al-Akh Bighayri Al-Haq. Fasad is to take, you know, the rights of people without any justification, or to carry out committing Al-Ma'asi. Wal-Aqibatu Lil-Muttaqeen. The Jannah is for those, you know, pious, you know, individuals inside this world and likewise inside the Akhirah as well. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ ظَهِيرًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. So never become an individual who is aiding the disbelievers. Basic lesson inside the Quran. Never become amongst those individuals. مُعِينًا لَهُمْ مُسَاعِدًا أَيْ لَا تَكُنْ عَوْنًا لَهُمْ عَلَى دِينِهِمْ وَمُسَاعِدًا لَهُمْ عَلَى ضَلَالِهِمْ. Simple, as ulama tafsir have mentioned. You don't need to be a great scholar to understand this. Never become an individual who's aiding the symbols of their way of life, aiding their belief, aiding their principles, or become an individual who begins to aid their corruption, their misguidance, their harm upon the Muslims. Muslims should stay away from that. That's a simple approach. If we can do that today, that will have a great big impact. Never become an individual who's aiding the disbelievers, yani against any the believers. And then we find kullu shay'in halikun illa wajhahu. Everything will be destroyed except for the sublime face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lahu al-hukmu wa ilayhi turja'un. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the command, the judgment, the regulations, and to him will return. So everything, once again, the surah is concluding by mentioning, it's the end. Everything will come to an end. So whilst on this short journey upon this earth, that some of us have been striving and struggling and trying to compete and trying to gain, we lose focus that the dunya will come to an end, just like the vegetation, just like the crop, just like a windy day would blow everything away, just like the distraction of this earth will all just be taken away and everything will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So coming to an end, that we find that contentment, that all of us are supposed to be, you know, finding that contentment, like Qarun was supposed to be finding that contentment or that peace, or trying to rest in peace, and he never rested in peace in this world, and likewise he'll never rest in peace inside the Akhirah as well. So thus we find, هي القناعة لا تبغي بها بدلا. That peace, that qana'ah, that you're searching within your own self, there's no substitute for it. You find that peace within yourself, there's no substitute. There's nothing else in this dunya that can fulfill that contentment, that peace right inside your chest. فِيهَا النَّعِيمُ وَفِيهَا رَاحَةُ الْبَدَنِي. When you find that contentment, that is the na'im. That is the bliss. That is the blessing. And that is the rest of the mind and the body and the soul. انظر لمن ملك الدنيا بأجمعها. Look at whoever possessed the world and whatever it contains. Look at these individuals, everything that they possess. هَلْ رَاحَ مِنْهَا بِغَيْرِ الْقُطُنِي وَالْكَفَنِي. Did they go leave this dunya with what? Except for the cotton and the shroud, the cotton shroud that they wear. That's the end of all of us. Nothing will be taken with us when we make that journey back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability to rest in peace inside this dunya, and even more so to rest in peace inside our graves, and rest more in peace inside the Akhirah when we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَكَ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ. غُرَبَاءُ غُرَبَاءُ